Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
For the record, yes! KD will soar in with a right hand spike.
Klay Thompson, three.
Welcome to the Warriors Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, Golden State Warriors insider, Monty Poole.
Welcome to the Warriors Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area, brought to you by Wendy's. I'm your host, Monty Poole, at NBC Sports Bay Area, Warriors Insider. And of course, our guest today is Larry Harris, who is assistant general manager and many more things for the Warriors, and we're going to talk a little bit about the draft, a little bit about free agency, a little bit about, well, maybe Mr. Harris will like introduce himself to some fans who maybe know who he is but don't really know who he is. And that's one more good reason, I think, to have him on the show. So, Larry, thanks for joining us, man.
I appreciate you having me on, and maybe we can fill some fans in on other people behind the scenes.
Hey, that way. Never hurts.
Absolutely.
So the first thing I have to ask you is, because, you know, you're assistant general manager, but you're also sort of the chief talent evaluator for this franchise now. You've been a general manager. You were in Milwaukee. What's more fun, scouting or actually spending more time GMing, as they say?
You know what? I mean, everybody, you know, having sat in that seat, you know, for 4.5 years in Milwaukee was what I thought, you know, that's what I got into the business for. I knew that my father had been in basketball for 50 years on the coaching side, and I knew early on I wanted to be on the management side and work my way all the way up, starting as a video coordinator in Milwaukee, and got the opportunity at a young age to be the GM. And, you know, it was exciting. We weren't as good as I wanted to be. You know, we made the playoffs 2 of my first 4 years, but never were able to really get over the hump and have some consistency in winning. But I tell you what, having been there and knowing where I am now, I really feel my role with Golden State is everything I want it to be. I mean, I've worked for a great owner, a great organization. Bob Myers is almost like a brother to me. That's how close we are. And I feel that I'm valued in every aspect of the business, certainly with the Warriors. And so, you know, some people would say, well, you want to be a GM again. If the opportunity presented itself, but to be honest with you, if this is where I'm going to be for the next 10, 15 years, I'm good with that.
Wow. I mean, and you know what? That's a consistent theme from people that I talk to that work for the Warriors these days. It wasn't always that way. But in recent years, I mean, a lot of people who come here, whether it's players or coaches, I've had players tell me that they really don't want to go and play for anybody, any other organization. I've heard coaches say that, yeah, if the right job comes along, fine. I'll be happy to become a head coach again, but I'm in no hurry. I like where I am. I like what we're doing. And I guess it speaks to, the ownership and the management of the franchise. And also, I think for the coaches and players, it speaks to the way Steve Kerr runs his operation, which is, you know, everybody has a voice. Everybody feels respected and empowered. And that's not true everywhere, as you know.
Yeah, no, I agree with all that. I really do believe it starts at the top. And, you know, again, I've said this on many different occasions to people, that you're only as good as the head of the snake. And, you know, Joe starts it with just, you know, as you know, Imani, as all fans do now, is he's very energetic. He's I mean, when he's in the draft room, I mean, he's engaged. It's free agency. He's engaged when we're putting our team together, whether it's, you know, a trade, the draft, or free agency. I mean, he's engaged, and it's a good thing, because what he does is he listens. And at the end of the day, he's going to go with the consensus. He's going to have his opinion. It's obviously a strong one, whatever it may be. It holds a lot of weight in the room, but he is going to go with what everybody, when we come together. And for the most part, I'd say 95% of all the decisions that we've made over the last six, 7 years have all been a collective effort, and he's agreed to that at the end of the day, and it's turned out good for us.
Sounds awesome. Sounds awesome. Now, let me ask you this, because people obviously are curious about this with the draft just ending last few days ago, and you guys bringing in Jacob Evans III, number 28th overall pick, your only draft pick, actually. And you see, every year, you see hundreds upon hundreds of college players. Can you recall the first time you saw Jacob and what your early impressions were?
Well, you know, again, when you start, you never know now when a guy's going to leave school. So now you start watching him as a freshman, and you start really locking into just what you see in particular guys. Certain guys hit the, you know, let's say like a DeAndre Ayton, a Marvin Bagley, guys who were really drafted high in this year's draft. You know them coming in. They're, you know, ESPN's got them ranked. You've seen them in high school in some settings. And you kind of identify that that's a talent that's going to be at the top of the draft whenever they decide to come. I think with Jacob is a little bit different in the sense that his game developed. And I think this year was the right year for him to come out. Can I say, was there a particular time or a game or whatever? And I think we spoke after the draft. The mm-hmm. one thing was, is this year, you know, having seen him live three times, you could just tell as the three different times that I saw him throughout the year, I could tell that he was leaving school. You could just tell that I'm the best player on this team. I'm the guy that makes, I'm the straw that stirs this drink. And so to me, I'm the best defender on the team. I'm the best offensive player, but I'm more than anything else. I'm a leader of this team and I'm accountable for our team's wins and losses. And well, so to me, you could see his growth.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the other thing too is, you watch a kid like Jacob, and you mentioned how he feels like he's the king of the floor, basically, you know, and, what video I've seen on him. Yeah, that's what I see too. A guy who feels very, very comfortable in a leadership role, and being the guy for his team. And I always wonder, is that something a guy develops, or is that something that guys have innately, or can it be done both ways?
Yeah, I think it's innately. I think leadership is innately. I've always kidded. I don't think there's a class you can take, some online class, and you weren't a leader and you become one. Now there's leadership classes, leadership skills. But it's innately, especially in what I would say basketball. I didn't play football. I didn't play baseball. I didn't play hockey. But I know in basketball, it's just one of those things. Basketball IQ and feel, we just believe you have. Can you become better in a system? If you learn the system, yes. But to know what Jacob knows now, it's yes, I give credit to all the coaches that he had prior to him entering the draft. But he had it. And to me, it's demonstrated whenever the ball's in his hands, there's a control, there's a calmness. He knows exactly what he's doing for it. That doesn't mean he makes every pass he makes is correct, and every time he shoots, it's the right shot. But at least he has a plan, and you can sense that when you're watching him play.
Wow. Now, Jacob, and talking to other people about Jacob, I hear some of the same things. One is that, yeah, what you're saying about his feel for the game. But it says, oh, he has a great feel for the game. He's got a great defensive mentality. His shot comes and goes. And here's what I also have heard, though, is that athletically he's a mid-range athlete. He's not a superior athlete. He's not a terrible athlete. He's a middle athlete. And I'm wondering if some of that, if you see that, and if maybe that's why he wasn't considered a blue chipper coming out of high school.
It probably was a little bit to do with that. I'd say probably more with the shooting than anything else, because again, I can't, you know, state, hey, where was he athletically coming out of high school? But I could tell that his shot has been a work in progress, and it continues to be that was probably more. And then, you know, where was he going to, what was his position that was going to be defined? You know, was it going to be as a small two? Then he kind of grew a little bit more. So now he evolved into a wing, which is ideal for what we were looking for. So I would think more than anything else, it probably had more to do with the shooting than anything else.
Yeah, you know, and I watch him too, and I know, and now I'm and did research on him, and based on the research that I've done, it sounds like he played point guard more than any other position in high school. Is that something you can see as he operated in college, that he played a lot of point guard?
Yeah, you know what? I think what we saw was that he obviously played with the point guard when he was at Cincinnati, but as I stated many times, and now that you've done more research, you've seen the same thing I've seen. We know basketball is the fact that the ball was in his hands when it counted, whether it was to either take the big shot or make a play. to someone to make that shot that hopefully it would go in. So he would tell you that he was a point guard growing up. You know, he was smaller and the ball was in his hands. But what I can say now is, you know, there's a lot of guys, and I kid, it's like you interview them in the draft, they go, hey, you didn't know this, I was a point guard in high school. I mean, everybody was a point guard in high school.
DeAndre right? Ayton, I played some point guard in high school.
Anthony Davis was a point guard in high school. It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a point guard in high school. I mean, so I you know, it's funny that, you know, it's what no one goes, hey, I was a center in high school and now I'm a point guard, or I was a center
right.
and now I'm a small forward. It's like, I did play point. I just want you to know that. It's the most difficult position in the NBA to me to translate. Yeah. I mean, it is so hard. And now that position is, you know, as the point guard position has evolved into a scoring position. You know, it used to be that, all right, we'll set you up. You know, Jason Kidd, mm-hmm. Maybe even Steve Nash, John Stockton. But now they're required to score. And Nash could score. I don't want to take it away anything. But now the evolution of Steph Curry, the point guard score. That's, we need them to score. So I think Jacob, the good thing about him is he's comfortable with the ball in his hand. He didn't come in the – when we – spent some time with him, we interviewed him, and we brought him in twice. He's not one of those that comes across and goes, guys, my true position is the point guard. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times when guys that I've found, at least in the draft, when they're stuck in a position, like I'm a small forward, I'm a two guard, I'm a power forward, I'm a stretch five, when you want them to fit into a system, you want guys that are like, I'm a basketball player. Mm-hmm. I want to win. And that's what Jacob is. I can handle the ball if you want me to. If you need me to be off the ball, I can do that too. I can be a playmaker off the wing. And that's where I think he's comfortable and we're comfortable knowing if the ball's in his hands, we're not worried about, like, I call it hot potato. Okay, get rid of it. Okay, you're going to turn it over. And we don't have to worry about that with him.
You know, I asked Jacob today at his news conference, I said, "What are you a more of a two guard or are you more of a small forward?" And he said, I'm a basketball player, just as you just said. I mean, he said, I'm a basketball player. He says, you know, I try to do whatever my team needs me to do. It just so happens that that usually falls into the small forward, big guard role. But he says, I'm trying to do whatever it takes to win games. And, whatever my coach needs me to do, that's what I want to do. So I guess he gave you the right answer in that regard.
Yeah. You know, the thing is with him is, I think, and you spend a little time with him, he's genuine to me.
Yeah.
It's like he does believe. Like, a lot of guys will just give you answers they think you want to hear. Like, he does believe that. Like, you know what? I whatever you need me to do, I'll do. I just want to win, and I'm just a basketball player. He truly believes that. And so for us, as you know, you've seen our team play so many times, those guys work. Those guys, they just, where do you want me to fit in? You want me to guard a bigger guy tonight? I'll try my best. You want me to guard a little quick guy? I'll try my best. Not, you know what, that's not my position. I was drafted more in this. I'm more that. He just, you know, it, to me, it's one of the best things, and I think I shared it with you guys, and maybe it was mentioned today, just how elated he was to be drafted. Now, it's great that he was elated to be one of ours, but just, you know, just the genuineness of who he is as a person, I think that's, I think this is what people will fall in love with him. It's just, he is genuine. He's that way every day. He doesn't change, and he's just going to go play. And that's the perfect type player. If we could have rolled the dice at 28, the character of the player that we were really looking for.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how you do this, but I've also heard about how smart he is. Smart basketball player. Smart basketball. He makes the right decisions. You see his intellect. And my question to you is, as someone who evaluates talent, how do you evaluate intellect? How do you see it? I mean, how does it come through to your eyes on the court?
Well, I think the one thing is, and I'm no different than a lot of people. I don't want to come across as I know, and I'm different than other guys. I just think people have different ways of scouting talent. And one of the things that I really look for early when I'm looking at players is what I call, do they have a plan when they're on the floor? Is there a plan? Like, when the ball's in his hands and he's dribbling around, he makes a pass, is that a pass where you go, you know what, that was the right pass, but, you know, the guy missed a shot, or he dropped it, or, you know, a guy stepped in front and stole it and went the other way. There are plays that may turn into turnovers or missed shots or whatever, but you sense that a guy has an IQ of what he's doing on the floor, when to drive and when to pull back instead of just running into traffic and running into guys and charges, that they continually make the same consistent mistakes. Thus, when I see a guy the first time, I just want to see how his disposition's on the floor. How he does he know spacing? Does he understand what he's dribbling? Does he dribble into spaces to make a play for himself as well as his teammates? There's always the right pass to make or the right play to make. And does he generally make that play time in and time again, time in and time out? And usually those kind of guys at least pass what I call a feel for the game or a basketball IQ. And Jacob easily does that when you watch him play.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of those things where, I mean, a guy trying to make the right play, you know, may not get the assist, but maybe it's the hockey assist. But it's, and on defense, you can see that his gambles are smart gambles. You can see that, you know, he's seeing the floor while also being able to be on ball defending. So these are all things you look for. And the Warriors have, you know, a number of those guys on the current team, which is why they've been so successful. Now, another thing,
and
the Warriors.
Right. And the other thing, mine, sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
The other thing is, I just don't want to take the offensive side, but you mentioned the defensive side. It's absolutely the same thing. You're right. Is he gambling? Does he get back? Does he be back when a guy drives? Is he over there to help? How is he a weak side defender? All those things factor in as well on the IQ side as well as on the other side of the ball. It isn't just on the offensive side, but you're absolutely right.
Absolutely. Now, another thing that the Warriors have that I think most people have picked up on, you got a couple of guys on this team, and I'm specifically referring to Draymond Green and Steph Curry, and that both of these guys have dealt with doubters along the way, people who thought maybe they were too this or weren't this enough, weren't that enough. There have been doubters. There have been people who questioned whether they were had the goods to become NBA players. And in looking back on Jacob's development, you might say, I think there was a point when people wondered if he had it. And, you know, he wasn't a top 100 recruit, as he said. He's aware of that. And I also find that players like that who develop themselves into who get better as they go along, I think that little voice in their ear that they're not good enough kind of drives them. I know it does Steph. And I know it does Draymond. And I sense that it does with Jacob here, which is how he's been able to develop as he has over the past few years. Because in high school, yeah, he played some point. You know, he saw the before and after pictures in high school. He had, you know, kind of a typical, ordinary athlete body. It wasn't spectacular. And then 2 years later in Cincinnati, you know, after changing his diet, hitting the weight room, hitting the gym, all of a sudden, now you see an eight-pack down there, and you see his waist is trimmed, his shoulders are broadened, and he's thrown himself into this. Is that something you can measure, a guy's desire? Because you always hear, you can't tell how bad a guy wants it. Can you tell how bad a guy wants it now?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's becoming a little more apparent, but still, at the end of the day, I've always said, unless you can really – do some type of surgery that won't hurt the player and actually split them down the middle and check their heart, you really don't know until you – and they won't allow us to do that, the combine physical.
I wonder why.
But I think it should be instituted. I really do. But since they're probably not going to allow those type of surgeries before the draft, the best you can do is all the intel and research. And it's one of the common questions that we ask anybody. Is he the first to practice? Is he the last to leave? How is he in practice? Is he the hardest worker? Is he the one lifting everybody up, or is he the one bringing everybody down? So there's just certain questions that, you know, more often than not, it's what we call, and all our guys will ask, does he love the game? And every athlete will go, yeah. I go, describe the moment in time when you knew you loved the game. And all of a sudden, now they have to think back. Yeah. And a lot of them don't have an answer. And to me, if you love the game, there's going to be a moment in time. There's going to be something. And what I'm alluding to is where Jacob was. It's probably when he looked at the ESPN 100. And when I got into college and I saw all these guys, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not only as good as these guys, but I'm better than them. And so that drive is there. And I think the best players, Steph, KD, Draymond, Clay, and I'm not saying they're Michael Jordan, they're, you know, Jerry West and all things. I just think all the great players, Kobe Bryant, you can name them all, and I include our four guys as well, is they just need something to motivate them. Mm-hmm. And whether it's for a game, for a series, for a season or whatever, that's all. They just need a little bit. And the great ones find something every year to motivate them. And to me, Jacob will find that. He'll find that this year, that when he's on the floor, he's like, wow, that guy was rated behind me. I'm better than him. Just as Steph, when he started working, he's like, you know what? I think I can be pretty good at this. And then Draymond's like, you know what? After my first year, I decided I need to get my body in better shape. And then I realized, you know what? I'm better than a lot of these guys. And you know what? It's just, I think more like we've talked about Monty time and time again, I just think it starts with character. If you have the foundation, family, character, where are you really, what's your biggest drive? What motivates you? And those kinds of things. Once you do a little bit of intel and research, it comes out. And Jacob has that. And whatever he reaches, whatever his ceiling is, he's going to get there because he knows what it's going to take, and he's a worker, and I think he's going to achieve that, whatever it is.
That voice is that of Larry Harris, assistant general manager of the Golden State Warriors and top talent evaluator. And he's talking about Jacob Evans III, who was drafted in the first round by the Warriors just a few days ago. Now, before we get back to Larry, I have something that you all want to know about, and that is, well, let's just say this. You got to get a taste of the Southwest with Wendy's new Southwest avocado chicken sandwich because it is spectacular. It's you also have the avocado chicken salad, bold Southwest flavors topped with cool creamy avocado, but they're only available for a limited time at participating Wendy's. So get out there and get yourself some Southwest avocado love. It is something that you will not forget, and you may be lining up the very next day for another one.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Larry, back to you.
Yeah.
Sure. Now, I talked to Jacob's mom today, and she said, one thing she said stuck with me. She said, he's always felt like the underdog. And I'm wondering if that's something you can also sense off of a player.
Well, you know what? Again, I think it kind of goes back to what we talked about just a minute ago. I think sometimes you can tell by the way they play with an edge, as long as it's not over the top. But I think if you can tell it's an edge, there's a spirit, there's a fight, there's a toughness. And I think you see that in Jacob. And again, we're not talking about a guy who's 6'6 and 240. So we're talking about a guy who's just wiry, strong, and that, you know, if you look at him, he's going in matchups that guys are bigger and taller than him, and he doesn't back down from any of them. And I think that, to me, that's the sign of what we're talking about. But it's just one of those things you have. I believe that, you know. And I think the other thing is, and not knowing him when he was younger, one of the things I believe he talked about, he may have mentioned it today, was he was 5'8 at one time, and he was a point guard. It seems to be sticking in his mind that I was little at one time, and now I'm bigger. And you know what? I was evaluated when I was very young and smaller, and now I'm bigger, and I'm more real than I was back then. I was pretty good, but you guys thought I was too small. I'd never make it. But now look at me today. And I think those pictures you saw from 15 to 17, that's part of that image that he's trying to portray.
Yeah, no, definitely. He's done a lot to develop himself physically, and he's got a man's body. So, and he just turned 21. I mean, so he's still he's still pretty young. Just turned 21 on June 18th. So, he's got a lot of room still to grow. And speaking of youth, both Bob and Steve have consistently talked about the need to get younger next season. And as free agency approaches, I'm wondering how that fits into the goal here. I mean, we know that, Kevon Looney and Pat McCaw, it's possible that one or both could be gone, but it's also possible that one or both could be back. We don't know yet, but that'll shake itself out in the next couple weeks here. But as you guys approach free agency, when you hear the phrase, let's get younger, what are you hearing? Because you can't just say we got to bring in, you know, four free agent rookies. I mean, what are you looking for, and how do you want to get that tailored around the core you have now? Because you're gonna have you're still gonna have the all stars.
Right, exactly. Obviously, I think what both Bob and Steve spoke about, and we have internally, is we know that as we're going into the next season now, if this was a journey that Steve's talked about, that the fourth year is very hard, 4 years in a row, well, now we're getting uncharted territory. And so how do we approach the 82-game season? And if you probably spend any time with Draymond, and it's been quoted that there's an 82-game schedule and there's a 16-game schedule. And there's no arrogance in my voice when I say this, and I don't mean to come across that way. But we have to look at it as an 82 and 16. And who are the players that can play in the 16-game season? We figure all of them can play in the 82, but we're probably going to manage this 82-game even differently than we did this past season. So when they say, and I truly believe, is we want to stay young. For example, we probably of our main six guys, and when I'm saying six, I'm saying the four, you know, the four All-Stars plus Sean and Andre. Mm-hmm. So of those six guys, you know, obviously we got our four All-Stars. We can't have them play 40 minutes a night. And Sean and Andre, we want to do the best we can to make sure their bodies and everything, as we found out how important with Andre to be healthy going into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So if those six guys can remain healthy, as we look into free agency, we know we need to add four guys. And what we're probably looking at is trying to add two wings and trying to add a four and a five. So you're talking, those are the four positions we're looking for. And when we look into free agency, it will be, we'd like to add youth, but we need some experience. So we've got Jacob, you know, we're realistic about what we think he can do, but we know we need some more veterans around our big six that have a little experience. That's not to say we won't bring a guy back that has 14 years of experience, but we want to get some more youth, especially at the wing spots, because it's just going to help us long term, knowing that these guys will get more of an opportunity to play, and that knowing that Sean and Andre will be ready once the playoffs start, and these guys will have had a good 82-game run that they should be able to put themselves in a position to help us in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, going into this, well, 2 years ago when Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors, it was a very different approach because, you know, KD comes over. It's like, okay, let's do what we can to fill in around Kevin and Steph and Draymond and Klay with veterans that are ready to win now, that want to come in here and are willing to play for minimum salaries. And so that's how you bring in David West. You bring in Zaza Pachulia. You bring in JaVale McGee. It's a very different outlook now, though. It's a very different approach now because you're looking not just for this season, but I think you're looking a little bit down the road in terms of, okay, we got some big contract deals coming up pretty soon with Klay and then Draymond. We'd like to have some guys who can kind of start filling in. Our guys are in their primes right now, but primes don't last forever. It'd be good if we can have a couple of guys come in that we think might be able to play for us in 3 or 4 or 5 years from now, because right now the guys are either established in their roles or they're very young. Even Pat, I mean, Pat's been here a couple of years, but and Kevon's been here 3 years, but yet they're still trying to figure out where they fit in today's NBA. We kind of see what they do, but they haven't established themselves as full-time everyday players, obviously. And I sense that you want to see if you can find some guys that may be able to grow into that at some point.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, what I call our big four centers that are all free agents, all of them, you know, really complimented our team well and had stretches during the season, were very helpful in the early part of the season where Zaza was there to the end of the season when JaVale was a big part of winning another championship. But we realized that, you know, with Jordan and Damian on the roster moving forward, we realized that we're trending towards a younger front line. We still need some experience behind them. But we also realized, you know what, this year, this championship year was a little bit different than last year. I mean, going in that this past season is going to be different than this summer. It's because last year was like, okay, we won it. We almost brought everybody back. We're like, we're going to run this out one more time, knowing that 2018 free agency is going to look a lot different. And it has no disrespect to any of our free agents. But as we look into free agency, we have to look people that can complement us now, but we do need to look to add guys because eventually we do need to transition this team into however it's going to look 3, 4, 5 years from now, that we've got some pieces that we can continue to add so it just doesn't end one day and it's all over. You know, we just the poor guys, you know, they get older and we kind of ride this out and then it's kind of it. And we're trying to avoid that. And again, we've always given respect to the San Antonio Spurs because we realize internally how hard it is to do what they've done for 20 years. It's very difficult. And now in today's environment with the new CBA and some of the limitations you have financially, they were able to do a little bit more of that because the financial situation, the salary caps were different than they are today. So we have a little bit of a different environment that we're dealing with on a financial basis, but we're trying to do, and I think that's what all management teams do, is they look at their blueprint now, and they also have to, where the coaches are today and the players are today, but our job is also not only today, but 3 or 4 years down the road.
Yeah, I sense that, you know, last year your bench guys, average age of your bench guys were late 20s, 28, I think, around 28 years old. I think you want to drop 2 or 3 years off that age and bring them down to maybe the mid-20s and have guys that are looking to the bulk of their career down the road as opposed to guys like David and Zaza who, you know, who are winding up their careers, and that gives you a little bit more of a, I guess, gives you a little bit more of a launch pad toward the future, and it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, there nothing substitutes experience for us. So though Jordan and Damian, we feel, you know, especially Jordan's had some more moments than Damian has, you know, and most people would say, if you're looking on the outside in, you're saying, well, those guys are very experienced. I mean, you're a championship team. You're going to throw these two big guys out. They haven't played a lot. We recognize the limitations that they do have, but just based on experience, that's why maybe one of the guys will be kind of a veteran and Andre type of guy to just kind of transition them mentally into, hey, we need you every night rather than we need you once a month.
Right.
We need you every night. And so I think that there's nothing that trumps experience to me. But in the past, or especially the past 2 years, we've had a lot of experience at that position. I don't sense us having as much experience behind, you know, Damian and Jordan moving forward.
Right, right. Now, before we let you go, we got to, you know, get into a little bit of your background. I mean, I know you started off like many people that are in the NBA, whether coaches or front office types. You started off in the video room, didn't you?
Yeah. So it's very fortunate. I mean, I get asked a lot, you know, what classes did you take in college that prepared you for the NBA to be in there for 30 years? And I just said there really was no class. You know, there wasn't a marketing class to the NBA or anything like that. You know, you have sports science classes, you have sports marketing classes, and certainly all those help. But I think more than anything else, it's who you know and opportunities that present themselves. And so, you know, with my father being in the business and coaching the Milwaukee Bucks at the time, I basically started as an advanced scout living in Dallas at the time. And then just how everybody kind of gets jobs. Mike Dunleavy goes and becomes a Lakers coach in 1990. And that just, all of a sudden, I went from advanced to being the video guy for 7 years. And that's what I did for 7 years. And after that, then it was, you know, now it was scout, then director of scouting, then director of player personnel, then assistant general manager. And then, you know, in year 15, it was named general manager of the Milwaukee Bucks. So I fortunately I'd almost seen every side of the game of basketball on the professional level, but only on the management side. And then the first year that I went to Golden State, which is in 2008, which was, to me, was a great, it really brought everything full circle for me. And now I could see everything from a 360 perspective. Was I became one of the assistant coaches for Nelly in Golden State the 1 year I was there in 2008, 2009. And that year of being on the bench, it's one of those things when you're in management and you come down after a game and, hey, why'd that guy do that? Why'd we run that play? And why'd we, you know, all, you know, we don't know, you know, and, or you win. Hey, great. We all, you know, we love this team. We love everybody. It's great. Kumbaya. But now having been on that bench, when you're sitting there after a game and go, hey, we called this play and the guy just forgot. You're like, oh yeah, sure. He forgot. Well, I was on the bench and I saw it actually happen. Draw up a play and a guy forgot the play. He forgot where to go and we lost. So it's just those little subtleties that you didn't really realize when you're looking at it from a 10,000 foot point of view, when you're down there and you're in the trenches every day. And so that really, the full circle came that year. And then obviously after my first year on the bench there, then it was like, hey, we'd like you to come up and be a consultant for us for 4 or 5 years, which I did. And then fortunately, I worked with Bob when he was an agent in the business way back in Milwaukee, and he and I had a mutual friendship and relationship with, you know, a couple of his clients, Dan Gazzarich and Jamal McGlure, and we developed a relationship back then. Never knew we were going to work together, but I knew Bob had an eye for this and one day may want to get out of the agent business, and luckily for me, he did, and we've actually, you know, and even when Travis was with us, we've always had a good group of guys on the management side that we have one goal, and that's just win. And we have an owner that all he wants to do is win. And, you know, we've been very fortunate with our draft picks, and, you know, they've come together quickly. And, you know, the couple of additions of Andrew Bogut, Andre Iguodala, then Sean Livingston, and obviously Kevin Durant. And we've been able to sustain this incredible 4-year run that I would have never thought in 1990 when I joined the Milwaukee Bucks full time that I'd ever be on a 3-time champion in almost 4 in a row.
My goodness. Yeah, it really is. And even longtime Warriors fans are going, is this really happening? So it is a spectacular time for the organization. I got a couple of quick ones before you let you go. First of all, Milwaukee in 2008 decided not to bring you back. Any regrets about what happened there? Or, I mean, do over if you could? I mean, you know what? You played in your mind?
You always do a little bit here and there. you know, it was a great opportunity at a young age for me to be a general manager at 40 years old. And, you know, I certainly didn't know what I was doing. Had I an extra 15 years that I have on my life now, I'd probably make better decisions back then. But I didn't get the fast forward 15 years and go back. But I would say this, more than anything else, I tried the best I could to give the Milwaukee fans, which they deserved. They were very loyal, and we were up and down, up and down. But if there was a decision or two, you know, everybody always going to say, I wish I could have done this or that. I don't know if it would have turned out better or worse, but for me, it was a great opportunity. I learned a lot. And, I tell you what, the first year I became the general manager, we did a little media training, and the lady who did the media training said, one day, Larry, you'll be fired. And when you get fired, now you're in the real world, and you'll find out that it's going to be okay. And you know what? I thought then, I was like, oh, I'm not getting fired. I got this thing. I know how to do this. I mean, it's great. She told me that, but it's not going to happen. So, but when you fast forward to almost 5 years later, she was right. And I didn't know if I was ever going to work in the NBA again, but then I knew when I got another opportunity, I was going to try and be better than I was there. And I fortunately got hooked on with some good people, and it's worked out. But, I really wouldn't change anything. I got two beautiful kids that came out of that. You know, they were born and raised in Wisconsin. They're both doing well. They're healthy. I have a lot of friends back in Wisconsin. It's a good place to live. Having grown up in Indiana, so the Midwest is more in my roots anyway. And so, no regrets there. But I've learned a lot, and I think I've been able to be helpful to Bob and to Larry Riley and to Joe and to Kirk and the rest of our staff. Just the experience of having been in the general manager seat, even if it was just for a 5-year span.
And the last thing I wanted to ask you is Don Nelson brought you in to the Warriors organization when he hired you back in 08 to be a member of his staff. And, you know, as much as people talk about today's basketball, the style of play and going small and positionless basketball, I mean, I can recall Don Nelson kind of going in that direction years ago and playing a lot of that. I mean, and I'm wondering now, as someone who was on his staff for a year and someone who got to know him a little bit, are you seeing the connection there, the evolution of the game, that kind of stuff that he played when he's the style he was behind when he was coaching and what you see now?
A little bit. He was not afraid to go to mismatches. That was more of his forte. He saw mismatches and advantages more from an offensive standpoint. And I think the only thing that was a little bit different than like the Warriors of today, even the Rockets, if you want to include them, is that you know, Nelly played with pace, but like I said, it was more taking advantage of a mismatch or whatever, and we would go into more isolation than what you see today.
Yeah.
So you may have seen more if and I know fans know too well about James Harden, you would have seen more James Harden plays where, all right, we're going to get him at the elbow and he's going to attack. Okay, it's going to get on the wing. We're going to do this pick and roll. They're going to switch, and then you go one-on-one. So I think some of the one-on-one characteristics are there, but as far as player movement, ball movement, we ran many more sets and more plays and did things more than Steve ever has. But I think Nelly's great vision of the way the game should be played was with smaller players, you're not at a disadvantage. He had no problem doing that. And I think, you know, when you put your personnel together, and I think Draymond kind of set it up for us, is we never really, under Nelly for that year, we never had that particular type of small forward that did it both ends of the floor, that did it offensively the way he does it and then defensively. You know, Steven Jackson had a little bit of that with us, but it was more from an offensive standpoint. He was not the defender, you know, nearly the defender Draymond is. But Nelly's greatest advantage was he had a great offensive mind. And I think he'd be great in today's game just because offensively he was really gifted. And he knew how to get guys shots and where to get them shots. Sometimes it's unconventional, but the small ball concept would have been no problem for him.
That is the voice of Larry Harris, assistant general manager of the Golden State Warriors, also a chief talent evaluator for that franchise. And he has been kind enough to give us some of his time to join us on the podcast this week. And thank you very much for joining us, Larry. Appreciate your time, my man.
It's the first time I've been on with you. I've enjoyed it. Hopefully, two or three listeners will really like what we said. Maybe they'll ask us to come back on again.
Let's hope so. Trust me, I'll be asking you to come back on during the season at some point next season, my man. All right.
I'll be glad to come on anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. You've been listening to the Warriors Insider Podcast, brought to you by Wendy's. If you haven't already, please visit Apple Podcasts or Google Play to subscribe. If you like our podcast, give us a rating and a review. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at NBCS Authentic. And you know what? We're going to be back next week with another great guest. Thanks for tuning in.